Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of Fuck Whales, Maddox, and from Podcast One's The Koi Pond, Joe Coy. Plus, Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he was this close to being People's Magazine's sexiest man alive, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get the man to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Oh, I'm excited today. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
This is trash just like you.
Easy.
Joe Coy.
Hello, sir.
Triumphant return to the Corolla Studios. Joe Coy live from Seattle. Amazing Netflix special.
Can I say something?
Yes, just, you may.
I want to thank the Corolla family for this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I sold 25,000 tickets in Hawaii.
Damn.
A month and a half in advance.
That's
insane. Two Staples Centers, and they're giving me Joe Coy Day. The mayor is officially giving me Joe Coy Day.
How many shows do you do?
It was crazy.
25,000 seats.
It was only supposed to be one show. Each show is like 2,200, I think, or something like that. So
One show.
So, and it ended up, it was only supposed to be one show.
Right here?
Right.
Yeah. And then it just, every time we added, it would just sell out in like 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And we just kept adding. And the next thing you know, we're at like 13 now.
Said it once, I'll say it again. Hawaiians, smartest intellectually, smartest group of people ever. And they know comedy.
Yeah.
You may have heard different from me in the past, Vanguard. But I'm going to revise that and say they know comedy.
Yeah.
And these.
Savvy.
Yeah. They're the genius. They call them the geniuses of the island,
right,
people.
The Pacific Island.
The Pacific Island, yes.
Unbelievable.
Do they have any data on how many people are like repeat customers? You know what I mean? How people going to more than one show? Do you have any idea?
No, we don't. We're not that technical.
But, it's a small island.
It's got to be a lot, though, right?
But I'm going to have my sister out front with one of those counters.
Oh, yeah, I know
she's
you.
Gonna do a counter.
I know you, too.
Yeah. Every time they come in. Is your second time? No, brada. And then we'll click it. Yeah.
How much of that is based on the wild success of the live the Netflix special.
Netflix changed my life.
Wow. It did. It made a huge difference.
Huge difference.
In
and
sales.
I'm not even going to lie. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, this is an astounding for any performer, especially comedian, but pre-Netflix special and you in Hawaii.
I would sell about 2,500 tickets.
You'd sell the event, always.
And you know how it is, Adam. You go in the week before. You got about 200 seats left, and you have to do like a little radio push and finally sell it out. And that's how it was before Netflix. I mean, I was always good for a sellout, but nothing like this.
But not 12 more.
Not the whole island. I mean, literally when I get there, there's just going to be a bunch of tourists going, where are the locals?
And they're inside watching Joe Coy. Yeah. I love it.
So thank you, Adam.
Thank you, man. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I love the success and I love the special. And again, it's evergreen. It's out there. Just go to Netflix and check it out. Joe Coy, live from Seattle. I was thinking about you last week because when we watch football on the NFL Sunday, I usually make the proclamation, you know, we go in Mexican food, we go in deli food, we got to kind of pick the food. and I picked P.F. Chang's. I said, I'm in the mood for P.F. Chang's. Yeah. Everyone else down with that? And everyone was down with it. And so P.F. Chang's it was. But it made me think about Joe Coy.
Were you really in the mood for Joe Coy?
I was in the mood I was not in the mood with dealing with his lovable character, who's the receptionist over there. Or not the receptionist.
The receptionist, dumb shit.
The host,
The host.
Yeah, we love P.F. Chang's.
Everyone enjoy P.F. Chang's.
Yeah.
Mr. And, Kimmel.
Yeah, no, Kimmel, yeah, no, he hosted the Oscars.
Oh, information say here, Hofu for Kimmel friend?
Yeah, well, no, Adam Carolla.
So you're Mr. Kimmel?
No, I'm not, no, it said sometimes, here's what happened.
Please explain to me, because everyone in P.F. Chang think that you, Jimmy Kimmel.
I think does he think you're Jimmy Kimmel?
I think, no, son.
Are we going to eat today?
Well, hold on.
Is your dad?
I'm hungry.
Is your daddy?
I wish.
Oh, so shameful.
Yeah. No, I am his dad, but Jimmy's not.
Jimmy
Kimmel. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry.
Sweet dream.
So they call him Uncle Jimmy. So here's what's going on.
Uh-huh.
My assistant usually tries to call and get a reservation for.
One second. Did you say you have assistant?
Well, he's a guy who helps me, but.
Don't have assistant.
Yes, I do. I have an assistant.
Come on.
His name is. I didn't come assistant. Here to argue
then
over.
Why are you here? Why are you not the
family enjoys a P.F. Chang's. My family enjoys your
everyone
cuisine.
Enjoy P.F.
They love the
very
cuisine.
Delicious. What's your favorite?
I happen to like the Kung Pao chicken. That's me.
Also that. Also that.
Yeah. Well, I know, but they'd make a new batch.
No, there's no more.
They make it to order.
We're completely out of Kung and Pao.
There's no more Kung Pao chicken,
Dad? Oh, hold on.
Your son looks so sad.
Yeah.
So sorry.
If
you're
not Jimmy Kimmel, if he's Jimmy Kimmel, we have a Kung Pao. But
Uncle Jimmy.
Maybe we could call Uncle Jimmy.
I like a sesame chicken as well.
Yeah, no more chicken.
I think I can. No more chicken.
We have sesame
chicken go by.
Last plate.
Well, Daddy, they still have the mushu pork, right?
They got to have mushu pork.
We have shoe.
But no moo?
No moo. I'm so sorry.
No moo moo? Oh, okay. So let me just explain something. Let's not get mired down.
Please.
I have a
first
person.
First of all, are you?
Okay.
Most important. Before we speak about anything else, what you like,
Adam
Carolla. Whose kids these are, what is it that you want to eat? Who are you?
All right. I'd like
a
booth.
That's the question I like to know.
I'm an American who enjoys a booth.
okay.
Not against the kitchen. You usually put me on a folding table right in the way of the kitchen there.
We have two chairs and broken table for
ask
you.
Ask some of those guys behind you if they know who Adam Carolla is.
One moment. I'll do that. Santo, da santa, wo tang bo santa. Jimmy Kimmel, it's a friend. Yeah. Oh, the keys. I want they want the chicken and the sesame. Just say no. Just say no. Okay. they have a new idea.
I saw this, one of the guys nodded.
No. I know. I'm going to say word for word what he say. You ready?
Word for word.
Word for word.
Okay.
This is what he say.
Okay.
You ready? He don't know who the fuck you are.
I didn't that look. I don't speak Mandarin.
Yeah, he did say so.
I don't speak Mandarin.
Your daddy is very unpopular.
Okay, let's see if we can work. Let's see if we can work this out.
Maybe we can call Uncle Jimmy.
Oh, Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah, he hosted the Oscars. He's a dear friend of mine.
Oh, sure, he's a dear friend of yours.
Yes, he is. He's welcomed me into his home.
He did so good at the Oscar.
He was very
so funny.
I wrote some of those jokes.
In my country, we say, are full of a shit.
We say that
fool
not
of
shit. Yeah, the fool of a shit.
You,
the shit inside.
Yeah,
very
I know, we
full.
Get it. We have that saying, too. Yeah. I didn't come here to be insulted.
Okay.
Okay? I had my assistant phone ahead.
Okay, you have a assistant.
And he's found through trial and error that sometimes if he announces me when they say name, they say Jimmy Kimmel's friend.
Exactly. And do you understand why I'm so mad at you?
No,
do you understand why I'm so mad at you?
No, I don't.
Your assistant call, by the way, your assistant voice sounds just like your voice. I'm just saying, I'm not the dumb.
I'm in front of my kids now.
I know, but I'm just saying, your assistant sounds just like you.
It's another human being altogether, I assure you of that.
Please, listen, this is why I'm upset.
You're what?
This is why I'm upset.
Upset. Yeah. Okay, you're upset.
This is why. Mm-hmm. Because you say order for Jimmy the Kimmel.
Friend.
You did not say that.
I told Matt
if you
to
would
say friend.
Say friend, I would have said the tough shit.
Uh-huh.
And you know.
Right, so you thought
do
Jimmy.
Do you know that, right?
I understand.
You
so
do
you thought,
understand.
Okay, so
you now, understand where I've come from.
Okay, but
just
understand.
Just tell Jimmy Kimmel, Dad. Tell Jimmy Kimmel.
Understand. Hold on, Sonny.
Oh, my God. Listen to daughter. Listen
you understand
to
if Jimmy,
know.
If Jimmy, let me draw you an analogy, because that's what I do.
Okay,
I paint pictures with words.
Oh, please.
Jimmy Kimmel.
He's really funny.
Yeah, and okay. He's
top
a,
of the food the
he's
chain.
A Rolls Royce. He's a Rolls Royce.
The best.
He's a Rolls Royce.
Yes.
But I am a fully loaded Audi 8 series. You know ooh. What I mean? Like, I'm just, that's not quite like, the price tag.
Like,
but
like a 1987 Audi.
No,
fully
brand
loaded,
new.
Like with the
brand
cassette
new.
Player.
No, full.
Like full.
What's a cassette player?
S8. Loaded. The, Alcantara interior. Right. Alcantara? Alcantara. It's a synthesized leather. Alcantara. Anyway, the point is,
yeah, okay, Volkswagen.
Let me just use
you're a Volkswagen. Right.
Yeah, I should have gone the road. Pardon okay. me. Okay. Jimmy's a 10.
Jimmy's a 12.
Okay.
Jimmy's a 12.
I'm an 8.
You're a 3.
I'm an 8.
You're a 3. A 3.
No, yeah. I am for well
sure.
respected.
100,
I am well.
1 second. Let's ask the people in the back.
Yo, go ahead. Ask them. Now I'm
growing. Three. Someone said two.
Oh, no. They said four. Yeah,
no,
I heard them say four.
No. The lady who have no idea who you are said two.
Okay.
She said two.
I'm not here to convince you that I'm famous, but, you know, Jimmy Kimmel
You're not the famous.
I'm not here to convince you.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
He ran
very
a bit.
Famous,
he ran a bit. They ran a bit on Monday night. And none other than George Clooney narrated.
Oh, I like
he to... knew who I was, okay? He's a fan.
You are a funny.
That's what
you
I'm saying. I am. Ask George Clooney. I'm
it's
funny.
It's not what you do on the stage. You just go on stage and I know George Clooney. I know Jimmy Kimmel. And the crowd
no,
just laugh because
no,
you're so
no, these
full
are,
of a
no,
shit.
They, we are on the same.
Adam Carolla, full of a shit tour.
We're, no,
2018.
We're the same level. You know, with me and Jimmy and George, we're all professionals who work in this town.
God, what is wrong with you?
Okay.
You are a clinically insane.
Clinically
insane.
Clinically insane.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? This happens every time. I don't know why I keep coming back here with my kids and exposing them to this.
I feel so sorry.
We just
for kids.
Want
so
some reasonably kids. Priced extra. Chinese food,
well,
okay?
If you don't hurry, someone else is going to walk in.
Yeah, there's nobody here.
Hello, Mr. Peterson. Booth waiting for you. Right
oh, no,
nice
no.
Day.
Did he have reservations?
No, he's just his variable customer.
He's just
nice.
One guy. He's alone.
Kid.
He's taking up a whole booth.
Kid. Look at the kid.
Oh, he brought
such
one kid.
Kid.
His
okay.
feet up on a chair.
All right. Can I? All I ask for is a booth?
No.
That might.
No. We have table.
Oh, okay.
Three,
I want a four top.
Table.
I want a four top
not
that's not near the kitchen or near. You actually
we
put
have,
it in the bathroom last time.
Last
I
time
was here.
We did put fold out table
in
next
the bathroom.
To toilet. Yes.
You understand that, my daughter
we
was traumatized.
We were busy, Mr. Carrara.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Listen, I don't want to have to throw my celebrity around.
You don't have to because you're not a celebrity. Just throw around. That's all you do. Just throw around.
You're so lucky. I don't want to walk over to the front door and ask that guy if he knows who I am. Because if I do, he's going to ask for an autograph.
Please.
Okay.
Please ask right now.
Okay. No,
ahead,
I
sir.
Don't. No, I don't have
excuse
to.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have any clue?
Yes, yes,
who
you do.
Guy,
right.
Yes.
Right. You
who the
do?
Fuck is that motherfucker?
Oh, hey.
Nope. He doesn't.
Hey,
sorry.
Brother.
I don't think he's in your demo.
Please,
did you see the Wu-Tang Clan thing we did
okay,
with Chappelle?
Okay, that is a racist. He is not the Wu-Tang
Clan. No, but Chappelle.
Clan.
No, but Chappelle. Yeah, on Crank Anchors. That was me. That was my
why
show.
Why do you think I like the Wu-Tang Clan, motherfucker?
No, I'm just by your age. By your age. I mean, you're a younger man. I thought you were into the hip hop music. But you know Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I do like that motherfucker.
He's a dear friend.
I think he's a funny too. He's a comedian. Dave Chappelle, very funny.
Well, he's
funny. Do you have any idea who this guy is?
He's a friend.
He's a comedian. What do you say you
come on, brother. You know me, right?
Motherfucker, I'm about to punch you.
Oh, hold on. David Alan Greer?
I'm about to kick you in your fucking face.
He's a dear friend, David is.
Yeah.
Stop naming black people.
You might want to listen to these cute little motherfuckers next to you.
I voted for Obama first. I mean, both terms.
I swear to God. I swear to God. Okay. I don't like how you're offending my
I'm sorry. Client. This guy's he's not my demo.
He's a good customer. He come here all the time.
He's not my demo.
He's a very bad tipper, but he always comes.
I want Chipotle.
Hold on, son.
Just get the kid to Chipotle. Get the hell out of here.
Get him a what?
Chipotle.
Okay,
the burrito, the big giant burrito.
Son, this is a matter of pride now. You understand?
Pride.
It's not about
pride.
Eating.
You guys
it's
lost
about
your pride,
pride
when you came in here.
Now look,
motherfucker, leave.
Okay, now look, I didn't come on to take on two
leave,
two cultures.
Yeah, leave, motherfucker.
Wow,
leave.
Okay,
leave.
I want some. All right, food to go. I want some food to go. Eat in the car.
Okay, that's fine. And give your food to the car.
And seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh, leaving it on the field.
Man, that was fun.
Making up for lost time. Two for one.
Just a coincidence that I happened to go to P.F. Chang's, and it was delightful.
Was it good at least?
I'll
tell you what I noticed.
Food to go is never that good.
It was good. It worked. People have a thing with brown rice versus white rice, which
white
is
rice all the way.
They want to say brown rice, but they want to eat white rice.
Right, yeah.
So whenever you mop up after everyone orders up, you have a hamper filled with brown rice and no white rice because all the people whose mind said, I should eat brown rice, decided to go for the white once it showed up.
Like, why is that so true?
It's the perfect example of how humans are wired, which is, brown rice or white rice? Brown rice. Yeah, sure. I'm looking after myself. I'm eating right. And then when it shows up, now if just the brown rice showed up, you would eat that.
You'd deal
but
with
the
it.
White and the brown shows up, and everyone goes, "Well, fuck that."
Yeah.
And now they go for the white rice. The white rice.
White rice complements everything on the table. Brown rice is like eating that packing popcorn.
Yeah.
That you ship stuff in. It's awful.
It's the brown.
It doesn't complement. It doesn't chew
the
right.
White does
the wrong
two.
Texture.
It does two good things. It absorbs the juices.
Yes, it does.
And it turns a different color.
It does.
The brown just stays brown.
It's another meal.
It's another meal.
Yeah.
It's another meal.
It starts off as white rice. Ends up as fried rice at the end.
Yes.
It does.
That's right.
It's so good.
Brown rice
is always just brown.
Yeah, and it repels flavors. Yeah. Like, it has some sort of turf. Like, get out of here. Like, the Crips
Scotch
and the
Garden.
Bloods. Yeah, it's Scotch-guarded rice. All right, we got a couple of questions up here. Guys, have a...
Adam, that's so funny. I'm sorry. Can I go back to that, what you just said? You're so fucking funny.
Oh, please.
It's so true, though. One more time on the white rice, brown rice. Please, because it's so fucking true.
It's just
that
made
me encore, laugh. Encore.
No, because it is true. Like, every time someone orders food for the office, there's always that asshole that orders brown rice, and that brown rice is still in the box.
Well, and they better
stop
eat it.
Stop ordering it.
Yeah.
Stop acting like you're making a healthy choice for everybody. Just shut the fuck up and grab
here's
white rice.
What that person doesn't know.
He doesn't even eat it, or she.
Ordering brown rice and then eating white rice is no different than ordering white rice and eating white rice, but in their mind, it's a big difference.
Yeah, they did something good.
They feel like they did something good.
They're the same people like tweet out what Weinstein did was wrong. They just throw that out. Like, on record, I ordered brown rice, I ate white rice. I said what he did was wrong, then I beat off in front of a coworker. But either way, I'm on record for brown rice and Harvey's wrong.
So we're all even.
Yes.
Oh.
I will bet there's much more of that going on today than there was 30 years ago in this country. Like, here's who I want people to think I am. Here's who I want to think I am. Here's who I am.
Yeah.
Right.
No one will ever say who they are.
Right.
I always say that. I get into a fight with my mom all the time because she's just in love with the Pope. And
I was not expecting that.
Because she's in love with the Pope, and it's just like the Pope can do no wrong. And blah blah blah. The Pope. I'm like, Mom, when it comes down to it, he's just a man.
Oh, you're gonna get smacked for that kind of talk.
He's infallible.
That's sacrilege.
I understand, but look, I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong. I'm just saying a man is a man. Am I right?
I agree. Well, this atheist agrees. Yeah.
Right.
You should
I'm about to lose a lot of fans
now. I got Joe Coy's hat.
Hawaii's returning all their tickets.
I'm very excited. Everyone got Joe Coy's hats. He does a quality cap. It is a. It's one of these things. It's a metaphor for life, which is you can go get Joe Coy caps made, and then Joe Coy can give these caps out, and I'm guessing $19-$20 a pop. Or you can get the super lightweight one with the kind of weird ribbon adjuster in the back that doesn't sit up high enough. And it's sort of half painter's hat, half cycling hat from the 70s.
Yeah.
And then no one will wear it. Or you can give me the Joe Coy hat, and I will take 7,000 pictures wearing my Joe Coy hat.
So,
yes, you may have saved a couple of bucks if you get the hat I'll never wear, but you never get any of the advertising from it. I'm also wearing a Rams beanie.
Yeah, you like it so much you put your hat on top of a hat.
It's a big free hat day. My buddy Ray presented me with the Rams beanie so many years ago,
last
Joe.
Last time he presented you the Rams beanie, didn't go so well.
Are you sure nobody
He borrowed my Rams beanie when I was about 12. And this was considered a durable good at the Corolla's house. Like, this was a big ticket item, like a Rams beanie. It was probably $7, you know, and that was a big thing in my life. Yeah. And I let Ray borrow it. And at a certain point, I said, Ray, I need my Rams beanie back. And he said, oh, yeah, let me go in the house and get that for you. And he went into the house and he returned the Rams beanie to me. I'll mimic how he did it. He sort of did it like he was handing me a lunch bag, and he handed it to me, and I looked inside the Rams beanie, and he had taken a shit inside of my Rams beanie. Now, look, I don't know culturally how this works. If that's
a sign of respect.
Sign of respect
culture.
When someone lends you, like if somebody lent you their pickup truck to move for the weekend, and you just dropped a deuce on the bench seat, is that considered a compliment?
It's a sincere thank you.
In the Philippines, you're part of the family now.
Part of the family?
Yeah, you're part of the family.
So my
world, like a brother now.
You just fill up the tank, or you clamp the hat dry cleaned or something. But Ray took a shit in my hat and then presented it to me.
It's his culture's custom.
Yeah. And then I looked at it, and there's not like I threw the hat out or anything. I emptied the hat out and I hosed it off, and then I got back to wearing my Rams beanie. But how many? Yes.
Wait, that didn't go through a washing machine? You just hosed it off?
Yeah. He doesn't go through a washing machine. Why would that happen?
I don't know that I had access to one, but I literally. Now, I think a lot of people would go, did you ever talk to that guy again? And it was like, oh, yeah, later
every
that day.
We're basically life partners.
Right. And we were I was talking to him on Ace on the House. I figured out who it was, the Louis C.K. thing, how he sexually assaulted Louis C.K. in case everyone's turnabout. But we're at Jordan Rubin's Boogie Nights roller skating party, and after 2 hours of skating, Louis was in the locker room taking his shirt off, and Ray came up behind him, grabbed his man titties, jiggled his man titties, and then lifted him off, like arched back and lifted Louis off the ground, and Louis turned around. He was angry, disgusted, and confused. Like, he was like, and it wasn't one of those screw around things. He was like, dude, what are you doing?
I was like, hey, good one, you got me.
Ray thought Louis was Jeff Ross, which I don't really stand by. I mean,
who's that an insult
to? Both white guys. Jeff had a full head of hair back then.
Yeah, he did.
A few less pounds.
And a couple less pounds, and it's not nearly the size, but either way, that's what Ray thought. And then Ray was indignant, like, I thought you were Jeff Ross. Like, stop looking like Jeff Ross from behind. You don't want this to happen again? Don't look like Jeff Ross from behind again.
Such victim blaming.
But I was also sort of thinking, like, what if you read the transcript of, you know, him in the locker room, he had the presumption of safety and that he was amongst friends. And then all of a sudden he was disrobed and he felt two giant bare hands grab his breast and shake them mercilessly and then lift me off. I feared for he could spin that into a pretty good.
It's a full on assault.
Not that there's any payday because it's Ray,
purely
but I'm just saying.
Principle.
It was a lot more than whatever George Bush did. That's for damn. Yeah, that's for damn sure.
He didn't pick up somebody from behind.
The thing about George Bush, as I look at it, is he did the thing. Old guys do the repetition joke. So if there's the old guy who pulls the quarter out of the young kid's ear, and you're at a party with that guy, he'll do it to every single kid.
Oh,
and then he'll come back next Thanksgiving, and to the exact same kid, he'll go, I bet you could use a little change. What if you, and he'll reach, and the kid goes, you did this to me last year, and
but
I'm older now.
Don't you as the kid also buy into it? You're like, this is now our routine.
Yeah.
This is our
I know, you got my nose.
Oh, Grandpa, what do you got back there?
Seventh woman groped by George. But he does the quarter move to chicks. He takes pictures in a wheelchair, and he goes, you know who my favorite magician is? David Copperfield, and then he squeezes their buns, right? Like, that's his old man joke move.
Yes, and to get them probably, that's his idea of how to get them to smile with the camera.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, if I can get a reaction out of you, a genuine reaction, you're going to look like a smile or a laugh.
Right. He's not... Why? He's not assaulting women. That's not his thing. It's a stupid old man joke. Right. It's a bygone era
from another time.
Thing where he's going to get a rise out of these people.
Yeah.
He's going to
yeah.
make a joke. Yeah, he's going to make them smile for the camera, and they're going to have a story.
Yep.
They're going to go, hey, guess what?
He's a goose to me.
And to defend him a little bit, he is sort of ass high now. In a wheelchair.
Yes. Yeah.
That's as high as you can go.
Yeah.
But this isn't another victim comes forward who was assaulted.
Right.
This is pretty.
And if you are going to go down that route, we're going to lose track of all the real
victims.
Criminals
yeah.
and victims, yeah. right? You can't.
Yes.
It's weird.
When you're lumping the actual, when you're giving the same label as the actual predators and the actual whatever assaulters get, then you're devaluing.
Then
the
you
label.
Hear the news and they'll be like, well, Weinstein is in rehab and. Then you hear about O'Reilly had to pay out or whatever. And George Bush had another victim come forward as well. It's like, no, they're not. Yeah, that is not. This is a goof. This is a goof. It is a complete and utter goof. And then also, if you really break it down, feeling somebody's rear end from outside of their pants for a millisecond to anyone who's ever had legitimate intercourse, not a thrill.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
is this an official policy of this podcast?
Well, what I'm saying is you take Joe, you take Dawson, you take Gina, and you put them all in a pair of jeans and blindfold me. I'll put my hand on the outside of their ass cheek, and I don't know the difference.
Gary, get three blindfolds.
I smell a new bit.
Yep. All right. That's all. That's
this
all
ass is definitely bald, Brian's.
For sure. Ass.
It just feels what like a pocket. A pocket.
Easy.
That's a wallet for
easy,
sure.
Easy.
So let's see. You guys got a call up there.
Ooh,
you want?
There's someone from very far away.
Number two, France.
Yeah.
France. Let's talk to Matt Burgundy, France.
Hey,
what's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you
good
doing?
Speak here, man.
Ace, I haven't seen you since you came over to London, and really
what is your
show?
Question, Matt? Don't just clog up the airwaves with your semantics and compliments. You call from France, there,
sorry,
Mr. Carola. Your question.
Sorry,
just speak already.
Matt, that's Patrice. Yeah. He's a new intern.
Which
he's
Patrice,
from
it's
France.
Patrice.
Very mouthy.
Patrice.
That's what I said, Patrice.
No, you said Patrice, like you're from Texas.
Well, I don't know about my taxes.
I'm outraged at this characterization of the French culture, Joy.
I don't give a two shits. What is your question? Is your question, Matthew?
Well it, goes to you, it goes to you too, Joe. When are you coming to Europe? Ace, I met him in London. I met Willie T. Ribbs and his son. We went out for drinks. We had an awesome night.
Wow.
And when is this going to happen again? I missed that.
Well, what's it been, about a year? I'm hopefully I'll be doing a car race out there at some point, and like the Goodwood Festival, and I'll get back out there, and then we'll tack a couple of shows on with us. Willie T. is great on stage.
Yeah.
Making a documentary about him. Happened to be out there with his son, because his son's a professional skeet shooter.
So random.
Yep.
And he was
crazy?
In Europe
so typical.
To do that, and I said, well, why don't you come up on stage? And he was
fortuitous.
He was awesome. So, Matt, what are you doing there?
Oh, I've been living here for a while. I just everything you complain about in L.A., we don't have that here, so that's kind of why I moved over.
Oh,
no
man.
Great
over there. Yeah, it's great. So,
Well, I was going to say two things. One is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but somehow through the your podcasting empire, they're starting to insert French ads into your podcast. They're in French, which is weird for an English podcast, and they're talking about women shopping at department stores, which is weird for your podcast.
This
is Mancho.
This is interesting, but I think they have these like geo-targeted ads.
Yeah, if they can tell where you're downloading.
Yeah, we're not
from.
Getting that
if
one.
If you're working at Big Lou Brockman's Ford in Muncie, Indiana, and you're living in that area,
come to the Baguette Emporium.
No, but you wanna, in its dealing days.
So many Renaults.
Do you like a bread?
Oh, you know it's the greatest commercial. No, so they went. You have a Ford dealership in Indiana, or you have a Le Car dealership in Burgundy.
Le Car.
We want to advertise. There, I don't know if you know this.
Come to the car.
Do you
like cars?
Do the Cal Worthington version of Renault.
Hello, I am Pierre. Do you like a car? Do you want to drive a car? Go to the Eiffel Tower in a car. You can get a car here at Le Car.
Matt, did you know that your mother, France, produced some great stunt drivers over the years? Ooh. And Gary can now look for a Fiat commercial from the 70s. And there's a guy, and he's like, hello, my name is Claude LeMond. I am the greatest stunt car driver ever. And he drives a Fiat. But even when
it's
I was
an Italian car, though, right?
Yeah, but okay. He drives a Fiat. And when I was watching the commercial, I remember going, yeah, you drive a Fiat because they're a piece of shit and you can throw them away after you.
Yeah,
and then they show him drive a Fiat down a waterfall. And it's like, yeah, you wouldn't do that in a Stutz Bearcat. Yeah. You'd be ruining a nice car. Yeah. Like, you got to find
amazing.
It.
I had a 70s Fiat. I had a 75 Fiat 131 when I lived in Chicago. That was the worst car I ever had.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's crazy how stuff works. We passed a Fiat when I was walking with my son two nights ago, and he went, fix it again, Tony. Like how that stuff gets passed down.
That's crazy.
Then
How old is he?
He's 11. And then we went right into Rod Stewart having a stomach pump because of all the semen.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Yeah. It's interesting
really
how these things just go. Yeah, they just get kicked down from one generation to the next.
Bells, Batman smells.
All the top are on the monkey bars.
All right. Daddy boo boo.
Matt, we will. Oh, do you have the commercial? Yeah. All right, we'll play it. We'll play it for you when Gary's got this ready. It's like a 70s commercial about a guy who's a stunt driver. He's renowned.
There's a series of these, but I'm confident this is at least one of the ones in the series you're talking about.
What I do for a living, few men can do and live. My name is Rémy Julien. I am a professional stunt driver. Sometimes I make the slightest mistake in timing and my stunt fails. So we pull the car out and try again later. When you do what I do for a living, you choose your car very, very carefully. It must be durable. But most of all, it must be very reliable.
Okay. And that it must be under $1,000.
I will only choose Fiats. My car is now ready again to fall down the waterfalls. The engine has been flushed and the spark plugs changed. And this time, it works. You see, I believe in myself. I believe in Fiats.
I'll take that one, please.
Yeah.
That looks like
give him Fiats because he's jumping it into dirt embankments and stuff.
Like,
disposable. Like when I was 9, I was like, he's driving this car because it's disposable.
Yeah,
and they give him cars to destroy.
But, yeah.
What's his name, Renee? Or
I didn't get it. Renee something, maybe.
I got to figure out his name one more time. And then I can.
Renee.
That really didn't look like professional stunt car moves.
Renee, what?
It was Remy, R-E with a tilde, M-E-M-Y, Julien.
Remy Julien.
Remy,
you drive a Fiat?
I drive a Fiat.
Why do you choose a Fiat?
Because the Fiat is very durable. It's one of the hardest working cars in the business.
But I saw you pull up in a loaded Lexus.
Oh, the GPS is amazing in the Lexus.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
But when it comes to like running full speed into a wall, I choose Fiat.
You trust Fiat?
I choose the Fiat, yes.
But
if I just want to go on a nice date with my wife, I do.
You take the Lexus.
Ah, the Lexus.
Right, so what I'm saying
but
is
if I try to kill the wife.
Right,
then I choose the Fiat and go over a goddamn waterfall.
But Renee, can I say that?
Please call me Rem.
Rem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
See, what I'm looking for out of a job and out of a car is to get the car and to put my wife in it and go out and have dinner and come home, but not jump it through a box car.
Okay, but
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
So maybe the Fiat's not for me.
I
don't drive down that many waterfalls. Let's say.
Do you ever jump through a train while train is moving?
No, see,
that's the route I take when I take
my wife. I'm saying, like, I just go on the 2 to the 210.
Okay.
I don't go, like, through the train and then off the waterfall.
Okay. So when you see the railroad crossing
Yeah, the side.
When
the,
they come
the,
down.
The arms,
you
yeah.
don't try to maneuver and jump through.
I usually just wait until the train goes by.
I don't.
My feeling is like, what are the chances there's going to be an open car and then the ramp set up just so? You know, I know exactly. You count on that. But for me, I'm like, I could get to work a couple minutes. My name's on the building. You know what I mean? What am I going to get yelled at?
One more question.
Mm-hmm.
yes. One more question.
Yeah.
Do you have a high insurance policy on your wife? Because I have the most amazing assurance.
Yeah, I feel like your wife's she's really signed up for a lot, jumping down waterfalls and trains and from dirt ramp to dirt ramp.
Yes.
There's a Gary. You can find one where Rennie goes building top.
Rem, call me Rem.
Rem.
Yeah.
Rem goes building top to building top.
My God. That's
God, this guy's in, a, he's in a the nutcase. Fiat.
Yeah.
He's still with us?
Fuck Fast
no,
and the Furious.
No, he died. Yeah, he died. He slipped in a whorehouse. Yeah.
So nothing correlated.
That's the whole thing. You think it's the most dangerous thing the world is doing. You go to one whorehouse, you hit one banana peel, guy's making one daiquiri, and pow.
Boom.
You're done.
Gone.
Kip doesn't throw this in the garbage. Everybody's throwing them on the ground. Unbelievable.
All right. We'll find that, and then I will tell you first about, you can find it, Garrett. Same dude, same Fiat this time.
I'm
maybe blue.
Remy. I'm a professional stunt car driver.
We had it, but we fear it may be in Italian.
Italian stunt driver? It's in Italian.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll wait.
We'll
look
find another
for that.
Version.
I'll tell you about TradeStation, man. Give you that extra edge to find your next great trade. Easy-to-use tools for traders of all skill levels. Simple pricing. Stocks at $5 a trade. Options at 50 cents per contract. Plus, $5 per trade. Futures, $1.50 per contract. Per side, do it yourself, man. Make some money at home. No software fees, free real-time market data, free premium tools, and you can do it all at TradeStation. Take a fresh look at TradeStation at TradeStation.com/Corolla. Trade smart, trade confident. TradeStation, get started. Jump online. Make a little supplement that income. If you know something, if you know the stock market, if you can negotiate and navigate, let's go with TradeStation.com/Corolla. Get started today, man. TradeStation. You got it, Gary?
Oh, I like that.
It's all part of my childhood, is watching these crazy cartoons.
I can't believe you remember
those commercials. And I was like, this is the best. This is the best.
Rooftop to rooftop.
Rooftop to rooftop.
Ooh. Down the stairs.
Down the stairs.
Italian job stuff.
To choose from. Yet in the more than 100 films Remy Julien has made, he's done more stunts in Fiats than in any other car.
I wonder if he was a driver in the Italian job, because they went down the stairs in those little cars, right?
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Just missed the truck.
And the Fiat he prefers above all is this one.
It's the free one that's given to the production company.
Right into the folks.
A family
he
car.
Did do the Italian job.
He did the Italian job. Is he still alive?
No.
And then tell us the
he
comical
died.
Way
he died. Yes,
he is alive at the age of 87.
God, wow. Good for him.
Love that guy. Tell Mike to book him.
Yeah, live show guest. Free
right.
show.
So, I don't know. Matt, boy, did you get us going off somewhere. Caller Matt from... Burgundy me.
Is he still on?
Yeah.
He left us long
right,
ago.
Well, good. I'll talk to Kyle from Jacksonville.
That's a $500 hold right there.
Kyle, Jacksonville.
Hey, Spall, Gina, how's it going?
Hey.
It's going,
hey,
man.
All right. Hey, Gary, how about the Jaguars?
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
They Kyle is peak Chargers.
Quick question, Kyle, as long as we're on the topic.
Nope.
In Jacksonville, do you really call them Jaguars? You're joking, right?
It's not about, like, in Jacksonville. It's just kind of how you say it, man.
No, it's not.
Hogwar.
I always called it Jaguar, too, before I learned it was Jaguar. Yeah. How do you say nuclear?
That's funny. The Los Angeles Rams.
So, you got an idea about scooping ice cream?
No, it's about... Wow, that wasn't about ice cream, but
scooping
let's say...
Ice.
Example,
the
oh, last scooping podcast, ice.
Is you were talking about scooping ice from a cooler. And I'm thinking that's kind of inefficient. You're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul because the ice is there to keep stuff cold. If you're stealing from that, then somebody's got to get a warm drink and fill it with ice.
No, hold on. Here's what I'm saying, Joe Coy. If there's a cooler,
yes,
and that cooler's filled with beer and it's filled with ice, and by the way, the ice then turns into ice water, which gets the beer even colder. It works perfectly. And I decide to make myself a cocktail.
Yeah.
I won't go look for ice. I'll just scoop my hand into the cooler that 200 people already scooped their hand into and got their beer, throw it in my glass, and dump a little whiskey in that.
Done. Yeah, that's smart.
But I'm not depriving anyone of their coolness. The water is freezing at that point.
Yeah.
Kyle, I reject your point.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Me. That was a good argument.
Go Jaguars.
Didn't put up much of a fight.
Speaking of warm drinks, line three has almost the exact similar question.
Hey, Brandon, Detroit, 27.
Hey, what's going on, Ace Man?
What's going on?
So, weird onion to peel with you guys. So, I was at the bar yesterday after work having a beer, long day, and this mid-50s lady pulls up to the bar, orders two Miller Lights and bottles, wanted the first one run under warm water for probably about 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So my spidey senses are up, because that's weird. And then she turns to the lady next to her, and she says, well, my family's from Germany, and we like it warmer.
My first impulse was she's from Europe, she wants warm beer. My second impulse is she doesn't want Miller Lite if she's from Europe.
That's my because some beer snobs or beer purists like the beer a little less than freezing cold, but if you're that beer purist, you're not getting Miller Lite.
I'm getting a Michelob or a Miller.
She could have been a beer purist who's working on a carb diet, and maybe that's what it was.
Or, this is my assumption, she might be full of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Germany.
Yeah, she just wants a conversation starter. Yeah. You know, oh my God, we're from Europe, and that's how we drink it warm.
Right.
Get the fuck. Bullshit. Yeah, listen, I'm from South Philly. Don't try to pull that shit on me.
Yeah, okay. Sure are.
I think I know Carollo. What I'm talking about.
No, seriously,
so much better than North Hollywood.
And we love football. My favorite team's the Jaguars.
Yeah, Brandon,
the Jersey Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jersey Jaguars.
You good? You satisfied?
I'm actually extremely satisfied because those were my exact thoughts when that shit went down.
Yeah, that's, you have to profile. And Judge, Joey, Florida, home of the Jaguars, 38. What's going on?
Go Jaguars.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, I'm a Bucs fan. I'm over closer to Tampa. So speaking of that, I did see Joe put on a good show in Tampa a couple of years ago.
Nice.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, and I love having him on a guest on your show, Adam, and so you guys are hilarious.
He's the best.
That's nice of you.
No, but I thought of the ultimate, today I saw it, the ultimate rich man, poor man, and that is a dude passionately talking on the cell phone while they're like walking or standing outside of a cell phone store or something.
Either
buy low, sell high, why'd you turn my heat off?
I would say passionately speaking a little. I'd say rich man, poor man, maybe passionately speaking to nobody. Like the cell phone guy is Mark Cuban screaming at somebody who screwed up a website or whatever. Right. And then there's just homeless guy passionately screaming into the air. You don't see middle class folk getting as loud that way. Although
I'm going to save this one for Joey because this is a disaster. Passionately screaming into your phone in another language.
Oh.
You're calling Europe and you're trying to make your Swiss bank account transfer.
Right. Your proxy's in the middle of an auction.
Yeah. I like it. Hey, Joey.
Yes.
Thank you for giving Brian a better idea than yours.
Thanks, Joey.
All right. Last one. Devin from Kansas, man. What's going on?
What's up, Ace Man?
Hey, Gina, man.
Bald.
Hi. Hey, man.
Hello.
Yeah, I wondered what, like, advice you'd have for somebody that has, like, a smaller podcast but wants to get, like, lower-end celebrities.
Fine, Brian will do it.
Interviews and stuff.
When and where.
No, but especially being in Kansas and stuff, like, I don't know. I wouldn't know how to contact anybody except calling to their podcast.
Here's a smart way to go, I think. If you just say, I have a podcast or a talk show or an internet something or YouTube something, and I just interview celebrities about everything, then you will get nothing. If you do, I do a show about cars, Jay Leno will fly himself out to your mom's house and you'll sit over that folding table with the two microphones and you can interview Jay Leno because you're doing a car thing.
The side passion.
Or sports or college sports or whatever, you know, the thing is.
Right. So if you started a podcast that was called
Jaguar Talk.
No,
it's the cars and football.
No, honestly, I think if you said one, you said it's called Why Trump Sucks and Why Climate Deniers Are Assholes, you could probably get Matt Damon
to come on your podcast.
Leo will fly himself there on his private jet.
Yeah, you do one about the environment or how much you hate Trump or something, and you will get half this town going, yeah, I'll talk. I'll call into that guy. Like, it's, if it's about the environment, it's about lowering carbon greenhouse emissions or whatever it is, or fuck Trump or whatever that is.
Like,
you could do it. If he goes, I just want to talk about general topics, two people. No.
Yep.
Devin, does your show have a theme?
No, I'm just saying I wouldn't even know how to start to try and contact somebody.
Just pay for IMDb Pro. You'll be fine.
You
can tweet people nowadays and say, hey, I have a podcast. I noticed you're into this thing.
That just doesn't seem like it'd work. I mean, like,
we've done it.
Oh, it works.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Again, if it's a topic. I don't, is a small example, and maybe we should get the guys working over at P.F. Chang's back on, but I need to explain to you, sir, what's your name? Sorry, P.F. Chang, Mater D?
I'm sorry, I thought you, long time ago.
Okay, I'm a celebrity, all right, now maybe you don't, maybe you don't recognize that.
Nobody recognizes it.
All right, and I am asked to do many podcasts and many projects.
Name two. Just name two, off the top of head, go, one, two.
Well, there's my podcast,
no one listened to that.
Okay, ever. I don't have to explain myself.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't have to prove myself.
The kids
to you.
Want to eat already.
$4. You got a goddamn vending machine in the hall.
Don't talk to your daughter like that.
Don't tell me how to talk
to my
daughter.
I'll buy your daughter right now and make her my daughter.
You can't buy my daughter.
I can buy your daughter.
You can't buy my daughter.
Do you want the Kung Pao chicken?
I do.
I give you lifetime. Kung Pao chicken for
Dad, I'm ready to pass out.
All right, hold on. I will leash you my daughter. Okay. I'm not an animal.
I like how you think.
I will leash you my daughter, but I need to see some Kung Pao chicken up front.
Quick order of Kung Pao chicken to go start for your surprise.
You like that? Yeah, I do. But wait a minute. 10 minutes ago, you were out of Kung Pao chicken.
Now I get the new child in the family.
Okay, I'll give her to you Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
I have school.
When I have a daughter, no more school. Just train her to serve food.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's a,
all right. And then every other
new
Sunday.
Daughter,
we'll,
new daughter. We'll no
split.
More school for you.
Okay, yeah. Papa-san.
Get the hands ready.
Uh-huh. All right.
She's going to be a good server. Here.
So what I'm saying is I'm kind of a celebrity.
No,
and
you're not.
And I, okay.
Stop
and
saying
and
that,
I like,
Dad.
I like,
listen to your, listen
you
to your kids.
You should recognize that as well.
But this, listen to your kids, for God's sakes. They say stop saying that. It's embarrassing a day.
All right.
Please.
If you want to talk to me about car stuff, I love cars.
He loves cars.
I will do your car almost nothing podcast or magazine article or something. If it's a celebrity thing, you're going to have to raise the bar a little because I am a bit of a celebrity in this town, if I do say so myself.
I wish I knew who.
Listen, there's another black guy over there by the door. Why don't you ask him?
Excuse me, brother. Do you have any idea who this asshole is?
Hey, word up, man.
Who the fuck you talking to, motherfucker?
I'm just saying.
Word up, motherfucker. What's this, 80? 1986?
No,
motherfucker, it's 2017, motherfucker.
Hey, I've got... Natalia, go to the car and get
that's
the peach.
That's what I said to him, too,
Natalia,
motherfucker.
Run, listen to his kids,
beached by Dre.
Yeah.
You know, like I
beats
know...
Beats by Dre, this asshole said to you. Motherfucker, do I look like I listen to Beats by Dre, motherfucker?
No, I'm just saying. I'm down with the community. You
I'm
know
here
what I mean?
For Kung Pao chicken, just like you. It doesn't matter what color I am, motherfucker.
They said they're out of Kung Pao chicken.
Are you out of Kung Pao chicken, motherfucker? No, we have plenty of Kung Pao chicken.
Wait a minute.
We have enough Kung Pao chicken to buy daughter, for God's sake. I don't even know who this guy is. He come in and say he's a celebrity. I don't even know who. Who the fuck are you, motherfucker?
Ask him.
Everybody in here want to know who this motherfucker is.
All right, my name.
Who are you?
I'm a friend of Jimmy Kimmel's.
Oh, I like that, mother. He's funny. What he did on the Oscars, man. Shit.
All right.
Who wrote that shit?
I was the writer.
Get
I was
the-
get the fuck out of here.
I was backstage. We took a picture.
No. This is what we said. Get the fuck out of here.
You mean like you don't believe me?
We don't know. Like,
I think
literally,
he wants
get the
us
fuck.
To leave.
Like, yeah, leave, like, motherfucker.
Oh, you didn't write. Come on, really? That's black just, for really? You didn't write for the Oscars, right?
Please, just listen to black good customer.
No, he's saying, get out of here, jive turkey.
Oh, you're being a very racist.
No, I'm saying that's how they talk. And then the vernacular. What they say.
Vernacular?
No.
Motherfucker?
No.
Vernacular?
Okay,
the fuck you saying, vernacular motherfucker?
Is there a Mexican?
That's the way we talk. That's what I'm saying.
Is there a Mexican in the kitchen I could talk to?
I feel did. Like,
hey, there you go.
Hey, we have so much kung pao chicken.
Yeah, listen, Fernando.
For everybody. All right.
Fernando, we got a bridge.
For you.
There's a cultural gap here. I feel like I've worked for so many construction
please,
sites
just
so many
leave
of your people.
This restaurant now. Good customer want to eat. We don't like you.
Let's go before he takes me.
All right,
please,
kid.
Mr. Toyota, leave.
All right, Natalia, you stay behind. Come on, son. Here we go. Right,
here come
we
here,
go.
Doctor. Time to wash dishes.
All right, and before we take a break, I'll tell you about Vikings history, critically acclaimed series. It is back. 2 hours, season premiere coming up Wednesday, November 29th at 9 p.m. Oh, man, that is... Eastern and Pacific, by the way. Season 5, Ivar's back, man. And he's going to take his leadership, and he's going to lord it over his heathen army. And also Ragnar's sons, the plot is heating up. He's moving into with Bjorn, and he follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea. The stuff looks amazing. You can't believe how good TV shows look. They look way better than movies I used to watch growing up. And this one... it's so good. And Jonathan Rhys Meyers is back to join the cast. This season, full of startling alliances, unbelievable betrayals, Vikings fight to rule the world. It was a simpler, pure time. And again, Jonathan Rhys Meyers, world-class international superstar. Jonathan Rhys Meyers is joining the cast. If I brought my friend Jonathan Rhys Meyers in, do you think I could get in?
We have a table with his name.
Reserve.
Yeah, reserve.
But he's not in the country.
I know, but no one's allowed to sit there, and we put a nameplate right there. He don't even order food.
He's in Greenland right now.
I know, but he...
But what would the chances be? But what if I use the table?
Can you let me talk?
Okay.
You always talk when someone else is talking.
Okay.
Shut up.
Okay. Now remember, my kids are here.
I don't give to. Well, by the way, you have one kid. The other kid is mine.
Only
one
on
kid
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And okay. Friday, bitch.
Okay. Please watch your language.
You watch your language.
Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Yes.
He's filming Vikings.
I love that show.
He's in Greenland now. He's in Greenland.
I know.
He texted me earlier today. He's in Greenland.
He texted me also. He said, please save me kung pao chicken.
Okay.
And I said, no
I think it would be okay to use his table.
Nope. Absolutely
because there's
not.
No way he could make it here from Greenland.
Hey, look, I don't even sit at that table. Okay. Only table for him.
Okay. Well,
nobody allowed to sit at table.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now,
you know
we
what?
Have a table for you. It's located in the bathroom.
Okay. You know what?
You just pull down the baby changing station. That is a table for
no, that's not a table.
We should take it,
no,
Dad.
This is not
we
an airline.
We've been here
like,
for hours.
All right. You know what? You know
feed
what?
The kid.
You know what?
Feed the kid. You can
I'm
take
going
a
to
shit.
You know
can
what?
Take a shit and eat at the same
I'm
time.
I'm going to Pan
what
Express.
What more luxury do you want?
Though? I'm going to Pan Express.
Good.
Get I am taking my money.
Please.
And I am going to Panda Express and I'm going to get some quality Chinese food.
That's where
and I'm going to be treated with dignity.
Yes. That place is perfect for you. Those are the people they serve.
Son, you like Panda Express, right?
Oh, boy, do I.
All right.
We cut to Panda Express. He walks in with Sonny and Italia.
Hey. Guess who owned Panda Express now, butthole?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
we're never
no,
going
to come full circle. I'm here to buy the other kid.
Your parent company is, yeah. All right. Joe Coy, everybody. Love him, man. This Saturday, November 18th, Redding, California. Redding Civic Auditorium, only playing the big places. And shows coming up in the Philippines, November 30th in Manila, December 1st.
Is it sold out?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Unbelievable. It's all. Go to Joe Coy Live And sorry, go to joekoy.com and watch Joe Koy live from Seattle. Available.
Can we spell
Netflix.
It? J-O-K-O-Y?
J-O-K-O-Y.com, everybody.
I love you.
I love you. Maddox is in right after this.
And now, the Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Good Sports.
It's time for a sports segment. Good Sports. It's time for a Sunday. Good Sports. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Ace, it's Thursday, and I feel like we've already done all we can do to fix the world of sports, nay, the game of life. But let's press forward just the same and continue our noble venture here.
I have a quick question for you.
Lay it on me.
A lot of people say a lot of food talk, not enough sports talk. Mm. We've been doing a lot of sports talk, and I've been
competitive eating isn't a sport.
I'm putting this on the back burner, but I've asked everyone around here. I need a win play show from you.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the scenario. I am going on a soft taco run.
Ooh.
And I need to put you down for a couple of soft tacos.
Okay.
In order, win play show. And again, let's not get exotic or say, well, if you're going to Pepe's, they do a con carne.
No, I understand.
It's just I'm going on a taco run.
You don't know where, yes, right.
It's not Taco Bell. Maybe it's Baja Fresh or Paquito Mas or something like that. A decent
going to the local taco joint here in Southern California, it's probably going to be a good one. Right.
All right. Steak, chicken, or pork? And pork would be carne asada, chili con carne, the carnitas. I don't like that.
There's the shredded.
Yeah, it's carnitas. But I don't like the idea that there's carnitas and what's the other one, Gary?
Carne asada.
Carne asada and carnitas. Too close for drunken
carnivore,
people to buy.
I completely agree with you. Too confusing.
So basically pork, chicken, steak.
Steak, one. When
yes,
I eat that when I can have this manner of taco anytime I want for the rest of my life. Steak taco in the one hole, in the two hole I'm gonna go. So then the second one I can have every 2 weeks or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Is that about right? Or yeah. Once every 2 months?
Yeah, okay. Pork. I'm just looking pork. For pork. Yeah, pork. You're right. You're a genius.
And chicken.
Steak, pork, chicken. That's the oh boy, Ask Bald Brian over here. He's flipped the script. He's got chicken at the top.
Well,
that's insane.
Because he's a contrarian, please. Here are the reasons you would choose chicken over steak or pork in your taco. One, because you think it's the healthier choice, which it may be. I don't know. Ask Vinny about that.
No.
I don't know. Maybe that's your excuse. Or because you're a contrarian. Those are the only two reasons you would say, I'm going to take the other one.
I'm with you.
And by the way, the chicken in tacos tends to get dry. It's a weird little thing. By the way, here's a pro tip for you, too, because when you have kids, I bet you've had to do this, too, Ace. If you're getting a big pie instead of getting two pizzas, let's just get the biggest pie they have and make it half of what you want on it and the other half what they want. Kids, my kids are weird. Like, spicy pepperoni. Pepperoni's too spicy. Don't get that on our side of the pizza, whatever. If they get a vegetable, you cannot. If you get mushroom on one side, it softens the whole pie. So it does because the water comes out onto the pizza and it softens the whole thing and it doesn't bake as thoroughly as you'd like. Make sure you get it well done if you're getting vegetable on half your pie.
Interesting. Good tip.
Remember that. Now that we're into some food talk, and yes, Ace, I've gotten those and we appreciate the feedback. Hashtag good sports. Let us know what you want us to win, play, show, or go upon further review on. In fact, let's do a food-based upon further review right now, shall we? This is a great one. People are buzzing about this on Twitter because I brought it up on the Damashek football program. Ranch dressing on chicken wings. Now, listen, I hail the good people of Buffalo, who not only delivered us the spicy wing, but they saw fit to say, you know what, blue cheese dressing is delicious on your lettuce, but we can expand the possibilities and dip it in the wing. Now it's good on burgers and beyond. But then, I don't know when, 10, 15 years ago, it feels like somebody decides, some Weisenheimer's like, well, get the why is blue cheese cornered the market on creamy dressings to put on the side of your wings? Here's some ranch. And now it seems like 40% of wing eaters like the ranch over blue cheese. How say you, Ace? Upon further review.
The ranch is a kind of a, you know, it's kind of a flour ingredient, like to thicken the stew a little bit. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know why I'm picturing, but like if you spill oil in your garage, your transmission leaks, you throw down some kitty litter or you throw down some sawdust to soak it up.
Mm.
The ranch feels like it's soaking it up a little bit, whereas the blue cheese are a clash of two titans. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You get the super zesty a buffalo sauce, and then you have this super pungent flavor of the blue cheese, and I like that. I like
that's
that.
Right.
I feel like
your mouth is man enough to handle both.
Yeah, I feel like the ranch is just sort of the dimmer switch. You know, they're going, it's a little too hot in here with all the flavor and all the zest and all that's going on. Let's just bring it down a little bit.
So ranch is for cowards, is what you're saying.
It's like methadone.
Yeah,
for wings. You know what I mean? Like you're feeling a little edge. Well, let me just take some of that edge off and bring it down a little bit. I look at the also I got a quick thought here. Just because someone is from somewhere doesn't make them the foremost authority on where they were from. Like it came up the other day where I said, hey, we're talking about Philly cheesesteaks, and Jeff Fox used to work here, was from the Philadelphia area, and he said, oh, yeah, but Jeff says, and then I paused, and I said, wait a minute, he puts ketchup all over his Philly cheesesteak. He's out. He's criminally insane. He said, no, that's how everyone does it. And then I thought, wait a minute. My dad was born in South Philly, and he's an imbecile. You wouldn't listen to him on anything. My dad's from Philly. If he told you anything about the Liberty Bell, you'd punch him. Like if he talked about Harold Carmichael, tell you, old man, shut up. You know what you're talking about. So why do we need to listen to the one guy who's from he could be the dumbest guy from that city, and they could have thrown him out of the city for ruining cheesesteak.
You're so right. We personify, yes, and we're so cynical and skeptical of everything on the planet Earth, except that if somebody's from a city, then they're the authority on all that goes on in that region.
Right. So I like...
That's right.
I like the blue cheese. I feel like the ranch... People, that ranch is sort of like... it's a phase that kids go through, and they just drag it up to their adult life. You know what I mean? It's weird, too.
I investigated this, the guy invented ranch. It's weird. The guy invented ranch, and then started Hidden Valley, the dressing company, because he had invented ranch dressing. And then the rest is history, and we'd be fine. Now they're selling kegs of ranch.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, it's grotesque. But anyway...
Steve Henson.
This is all you need to know about him. Steve Henson is his name. He was a plumber.
Wow.
He invented ranch dressing. That's what you want to eat? The man who's busy dealing with your bowel movements clogging up the pipe. So, hey, in my free time, I've created a new dressing. Don't you want to try it? No, thank you, sir. No, I don't. Stick to the pipes.
I got to say, if we forced ladies to go to the bathroom outdoors... To handle all their business outdoors. You want to shower, use the hose. You want to poop, use the garden. Between the hair and the tampons and the pads and the products, I think business for Rooter guys would be down 86%.
Huh.
Because every single time it's, oh, the hair in the shower, the long hairs that get all bunched up at the whatever. It's not the boy with the buzz cut. It's the ladies,
now
and when it goes
that.
To the toilet, it's always the feminine products and the stuff that got caught up and they had to whatever.
And that's what's in your ranch dressing. That's what's in your ranch. That's what you want more than blue cheese. Shame on you. All right.
You know what else I don't abide by? I don't abide by breaded hot wings.
Oh, yeah. What?
I don't know.
This is another thing on. This is your iced tea.
You're not hot wings anymore.
This is our take on iced tea. This is our take on. No, just give us wings.
I ordered hot wings. I'm picturing buffalo hot wings, not breaded, deep fried hot wings. I'm picturing buffalo.
I know
hot
this
wings.
Is this is what our chef is doing with the classic. No, we didn't. We don't need that. When society calls for you to give us wings 2.0, then go ahead and bread them up. In the meantime, just bring them and give me some blue cheese, thank you. And this might be my New Year's resolution for society. You know, Ace, I'm not selfish like everybody else. I don't make New Year's resolutions to fix me. I do them to fix society. I've already tackled stuffing needs to be on menus year round, and you're starting to show
up.
Bearing fruit. Do away with your plates in favor of bowls. Yes, if you're eating a New York strip, you need a plate. Otherwise, a bowl is always the preferred method. These are the things I'm doing to fix society, to help society be even better. I might ban ranch dressing for 2018.
I feel selfish, but my New Year's resolution, was demand more for my deodorant. And I feel like that's such a selfish decree, out there getting stuffing put on the menu, getting the bowls swapped out for the plates, and really out there kind of with an eye toward your fellow man, and I'm like turning inward on myself. I'm focused on my pits.
I mean, listen, you're allowed to. It's a free country, Ace. You can do that.
I should be thinking more about society and a little less about my deodorant.
That's you doing you, and this is me. This is who I am. This is how I'm wired, Ace.
I don't want to I'm not making excuses, but when I ride the subway.
Yeah.
Which I frequently do.
I know you. That's your thing, because you think it keeps you grounded.
And a really attractive 26-year-old blonde sidles up next to me, and I put my hand up on the grab bar. I want to do it with confidence this year. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
It happened so many times in the past where I was in a big pitted out. And she's disgusted.
Well, to bring it full circle, like you were talking about with the wood shavings on the floor, maybe a little ranch dressing under the pits, fix you right up there.
That should be the next scent.
All right. That's it. I said we've done it again. Hey, tomorrow on Good Sports, we are thinking we might have a special guest to make a special announcement. We'll let you know about that on tomorrow's show. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports.
Take a walk on the dark side.
In the Salem witch trials, the ultimate test was throwing the defendant into a body of water to see if he or she would float. The reasoning behind this is that water is a purity symbol of baptism and would cast up a servant of Satan. Isn't it rather strange that Brian Jones drowned in his pool on July 3rd, 1969?
Take a walk on the dark side. Rock and roll myths, legends, and curses on Audible and iTunes.
Do you want to be great at reading body language, developing persuasion and influence, as well as master rapport and social interaction? What if I told you that you would learn from top performers like NBA superstar Shaquille O'Neal, former CIA director Michael Hayden, and brilliant thinkers like Dirty Jobs' Mike Rowe? Take a minute right now and subscribe to the Art of Charm podcast with me, Jordan Harbinger, and you'll hear how I pull out the secret psychology, life experience, and wisdom that can only be learned from them. You'll hear Shaq talk about how to manage your career and how to know who to trust when everyone's out to get something from you. You'll discover how to think critically from Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and even how Tony Hawk's life as a skateboard icon will influence how you think about your career and relationships in a whole new way. This show is for you if you want to outcompete, outperform, and outthink everyone around you, and it's the only place you'll get practical, applicable strategies from every single episode. Since you're all about learning from the absolute best, download and subscribe for free right now and upgrade your brain 4 times a week at podcastone.com or in the Podcast One app.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, some good news for you, bad news for me. You are my healthiest addiction. Keep up the show. Absolutely love it. Love all you guys. Great work. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Mike, there we go. Maddox is on. Fuck Wells. Also, family's poetry, folksy wisdom, and you. It is a bunch of really funny essays, and it's available right now on Amazon. And bookmark us and click through us, and that's the way we keep the pirate ship sailing. Good to meet you, Maddox.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We took some of the essays, and I think Gina may have them.
I do.
Maddox penned these. We asked Maddox if he wanted to read one or want Gina to read them, or we've got a couple. Thanks.
In your voice, do you like reading them yourself?
Sure. I mean, we can just talk about some of these. Reading it is kind of dry, maybe, but whatever you guys
well,
want.
Let's hear a little.
Here you go.
Yeah.
This is, here you go, mm-hmm. something you
your
wrote.
Your words make them sound.
My own, but I got to read this. I have one about raising awareness. It's a huge thorn in my side.
I heard that as a title, and I was just like, yeah. Yeah. Raising awareness.
Fuck yes. Raising awareness. It's like tweeting about a fire in your kitchen. It does nothing. It's like if you want to hammer a nail, you hammer it. You don't put out a tweet and raise awareness as social media campaign to put the nail down.
I don't know who I hate more. The people who say we need to raise awareness of something or the person that says we have to start to have an honest dialogue.
Right.
About something which they've been saying for 29 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who starts the honest dialogue or who gets to decide whether it's actually honest or not.
Well, and then what's the call to action? We're raising all this awareness. You should be aware of white privilege or whatever it is. I think it causes more harm than good because it's the bystander effect, which I don't know if you're probably familiar with this, but in New York, I think in the late 80s, early 90s, a woman got murdered. And I think there were 14 witnesses and not a single person called 911 because everybody assumed that everyone else watching and witnessing would do it. And so that's essentially what's happening with raising awareness. If you raise enough awareness, everybody thinks that somebody's doing something to solve the problem, but nobody is.
Right.
It causes more harm.
And a lot of times raising awareness costs money. I'm walking. Will you pledge money so I can raise awareness?
Sure. Well, at least there's a call to action. Like the ice bucket challenge, I didn't really, it's kind of goofy and whatever, but at the end of the day, they did raise a lot of money. At least that had something that, came from it. But yeah, it's a lot of bullshit.
What was the other one we pulled?
Cupcakes. Fuck cupcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just talking about that.
Yeah.
But just saying, I saw my last one when I was 9, and then
a resurgence.
They came back, and there's no reason. Well, my thing with cupcakes is they're so big now that if you get out a knife and fork, you look like the most anal retentive fuck on the planet. Like you look insane eating a cupcake with a knife and fork. But if you just chow into it, it's in full bukkake mode. Like it's all over your forehead. It's under your eyelids. Like how do you do? They're full cakes. It's just like eating a cake with your hand now.
I got this big fucking Armenian nose. And so anytime I bite into it looks like an elf came all over my face. There's just fucking frosting everywhere. I hate it. And then, Adam, the knife and fork thing, that defeats the whole fucking purpose.
Why do we have a piece of cake at this point?
Yeah.
And also, they're now either giant or miniature. Somebody was passing around miniature.
Bite-sized. Yeah. No industry standard.
Can I say this too? This thing of I would like to get fat, but I'd never want to be satisfied. That's what you get with the miniature everything. Because I can eat 29 of those and never feel good about it, but my waist will know.
Yeah. It's like it's the brown rice of desserts.
You're right.
Yeah.
We don't need it.
I'll get a bite size one. Yeah. And then I just in doing research today, I didn't realize that you hated passion fruit as much as I do.
First things first. Here's my thing about passion fruit. I'm confused about passion fruit. Like first and foremost, I have dreams of being at a party. And I run into somebody and I go, what do you do? And I go, oh, I'm a publicist. And I go, oh, what celebrity do you have? Oh, no, I don't do celebrity. I do fruit. And I go, who do you do? I do passion fruit. Oh, my God, you're a genius.
I have so many questions.
Let me suck your dick. Like, first off, I went from 0 to 37 without hearing about passion fruit. Like, I heard there was something called passion fruit. I never saw one. No one ever said, oh, we need a candy bar or a donut with passion fruit flavor in it.
No, it was exotic and reserved for vacations.
If you said to me in 2000, what does a passion fruit look like? Mm-hmm. I'd say, I don't know. I guess it's from Hawaii. I've never seen one. Then they made their inroads with tea.
Mm-hmm.
They started with fucking tea. And you'd go, can I have an iced tea? And they'd go, yeah, you can have iced tea. And then they pause at the beginning. They go, passion fruit. And I'd go, No, I'll just have the regular. And the, at the beginning, they had them both. Then at a certain point, they'd go, yeah, we got the passion fruit. And I'd go, I don't want a tea that tastes like someone took potpourri and put it in warm water in a gym, in a gym sock and dipped it into it. I want fucking iced tea. And they go, oh, well, we don't.
That became a regular tea.
Then at a certain point, there was no announcement.
Right.
I just went, yeah, can I have some iced tea? And they go, yeah. And I'd go, but not passion fruit, not flavor, just regular iced tea.
And they go,
yeah, just regular iced tea. We got regular iced tea. And then you taste it. It's like, smells like a scented candle.
Right.
And you go, no, this is passion fruit. They go, no, it's just our iced tea. It's our regular iced tea. So I went, what is going on with passion fruit? Like, why? Why? Why you ruin? You've ruined iced tea. And I used to say sort of jokingly, Brian's been around for all this, you know, 1999, I'd go, there's no passion fruit yogurt, there's no passion fruit deodorant, there's no passion fruit toothpaste, there's no passion fruit anything. Why do we want it? Why do we want it? There's passion fruit everything now,
yeah.
And I still don't even really know what the flavor is.
Can we get a fucking warning, at least in restaurants? Hey, it's passion fruit. Anytime a waitress or waiter tells me that, I say, oh, thanks for the warning. I'm not going to get that. Mm-hmm. I'll just have water or I'll just be thirsty. Right. I'd rather not have anything in my mouth.
What I can never wrap my mind around is if somebody orders iced tea, it means they want iced
tea.
The flavor
of tea. Right.
The flavor of iced tea, not passion fruit.
Not flowers.
The great, oh man, when we were sitting at Calendars, the highfalutin Marie Calendars across the street from Wilshire Boulevard,
the
radio station.
The piano player.
The greatest, it was like, you know, people talk about the birth of their kids or the day they made their first $1 million or the day Johnny Carson called them over to sit on the couch. None of that. It all pales in comparison to this moment where I was sitting there at Calendars and I go, back in the day, I would either go iced tea, be the first weapon of choice. Second would be a Coke, Diet Coke with a lemon wedge.
Right.
And I said, and I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. We did the morning show. And I said, could I get some iced tea? And I said, yeah. I said, well, what kind of iced tea? Is it regular iced tea? I said, but it's not the passion fruit. You know, that's the passion. Yeah, we have the passion fruit. And I said, okay, I don't want the passion fruit. I just want regular iced tea. And that's the only one we have. And I said, I feel like when people order iced tea, they would like iced tea. Like if there's an option, if somebody escaped from a mental institute and wants passion fruit iced tea, then you could have that option for them. But for the rest of the people who just want iced tea, why not just have iced tea? And she goes, most of our customers prefer the passion fruit. And I said, I can't imagine that people prefer something that they're not ordering. Iced tea and you're giving them a scented candle. I can't imagine. Sir, most of our customers do prefer, and like an angel falling down from heaven, a middle-aged woman who heard my voice carrying across the room was two tables away, like leaned back and went, oh, excuse me, is it passion fruit iced tea? Yeah. Oh, I ordered iced tea. Yeah, it's passion. Oh, cancel my order. And I went, another satisfied customer. Another one of us.
Thank God.
It's insane.
Yeah, I went to Ralph's one time, you know, grocery store in Los Angeles, for those who aren't here. But I walked in, and they have that exotic fruit section. And I'm big into exotic fruits. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to try whatever this weird
dragon fruit
is. Exactly. Right.
Dragon fruit tastes like basically just sweat. Yeah.
Or lychee or whatever.
Yeah, lychee, you know. But then I saw passion fruit. I thought, oh my God, it's a real thing. Okay, so I'm going to buy one of these. It cost like $1. Took it home, cut it open, tasted it, and I'm like, what is that? That flavor? It's exactly that fucking bullshit Snapple flavor I've been drinking for years that I hate, and it's exactly, and they nailed it, Adam. The flavor of an actual passion fruit is exactly like this weird thing that you didn't even know existed. They really nailed that.
But it's because we're dumb, because it's called passion fruit, and we're fucking dumb. Like, if it, you know, it's like gefilte fish doesn't sell that well because it's called gefilte. If it was called passion fish, I bet they move a lot more fucking units of it.
Excuse me, is it the gefilte fish iced tea? Because if it is, I'd like actually two. I love
Gary,
it.
Can you do some passion fruit legwork? It's got to be cheaper per volume. There's somebody once floated a theory about cleaning and filtration and something. There's got to be something because it can't be people like it more. And by the way, it can't be because it didn't exist. It never existed. Like, I've had meals. We went to the Getty Skirball Center or something for a nice outing, lunch, whatever. And I've had entire days ruined where I was like sitting in a beautiful restaurant, beautiful view, beautiful decor, beautiful everything. Right. And I went, I want iced tea. And they're like, yeah, we have iced tea. But regular, just iced tea. Just regular iced tea. Yeah, that's what we got. Okay, good. Then just bring me the regular iced tea. And I take a hit off it, and it's a fucking candle. And I go, this isn't. And they go, that's iced tea.
That's our iced tea.
Oh, fuck you.
You feel like you need one of those tongue scrapers to get that fucking flowery flavor off your mouth?
You guys wouldn't know this, but it tastes exactly like a cheap lipstick.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It tastes like you think a scented candle would taste if you bit a scented candle.
I think you're onto something where the name is so evocative. It's passion fruit. How can it be bad? It's passion. It's exotic and it's beautiful. And it's lush. But I think my theory is maybe not as the Snapple per se. Maybe that was an early adopter. But as we've gotten more and more passion fruit things, I think passion fruit, the title, as it pertains to a lot of products that are mass produced, it's just a generic, it's sweet title. Like, this is just generic.
It's morphed into scented tea. It's like that. That's the worst part about it is it doesn't have the calories. It doesn't have the sugar. It just has the weird smell of the potpourri.
When Christy and I go to Kauai every year and get like passion fruit, like margaritas, like made there on the island, it's glorious. But you're not getting here. You're not getting, you know, authentic passion fruit from Hawaii.
Here's a rule. My new rule. If you can't bake a pie out of this, I'm not interested.
Good call.
Amen to that.
I've never had a piece of passion fruit pie. I know it's coming because big passion fruit is taking over the fucking world. It's in yogurts and deodorant now. But if you can't do it into a pie, because look, you can take pumpkin and make a hell of a pie out of it. You can take yams and make sweet potatoes, make a hell of a pie. Lemons make a hell of a pie. You make a hell of a pie. If you can't make a fucking pie out of it, I'm not interested. And also, there's 27 different types of fruits to enjoy. Are we out of it? We're like, oh man, I ate watermelon last year, so I need something new.
Yeah. What about some just watermelon tea? Or I'll drink fucking pumpkin tea.
Anything but passion.
Passion.
Yeah. Anything.
Any day. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Absolutely.
We are kindred spirits.
Yeah. Amen.
Should we get ready with the little news? By the way, brought to you by Blinds Galore. And
absolutely.
I should tell you, Thanksgiving, speaking of pumpkin pie, man, you're going to have a house full of guests. It's just a week away. Worried about those ratty old blinds still hanging around, man. We got the little weird spider eggs on there and the little weird stuff. You don't want that. Let's get some new blinds. Blinds Galore, man. They do one thing. They do it better than anyone else. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to the very detail. Yes.
You know what's tough on blinds? Kids.
Yeah.
Little kids. Tessa's starting to show interest in the blinds. She's grabbing them.
Yeah.
Food all over the one next to the table.
Let's get some new ones, man, at Blinds Galore. And they'll send you out free samples. I think it's 12, 14, 16, something. Some even numbers in my head. And they got tons of colors, lots of great designs. They have expertise. They have free shipping. They'll do shutters. They'll do drapes. They'll do it all, man. And again, it's all the experts over at Blinds Galore. No one makes it as easy as Blinds Galore. We have them here. It's the only ones we use. Check it out, blindsgalore.com. Custom blinds and shades you've always wanted. Let them know I sent you. They're a great company. All right, Gina Grad, should we do a little news?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina
Grad. Oh, Maddox, I'm so angry about this passion fruit.
Breaking.
The worst, like to me, here's my thing. It's the passion fruit apologists and sympathizers.
Yes.
Like where the people, there's two people going, who drive me insane. One person is, I'll go, oh man, Jesus Christ, I just wanted iced tea. Is there anything? They'll taste yours and go, this is iced tea, isn't it? Like, you don't know the difference between fucking iced tea and the candle. You don't know the difference. And then they'll do the hit and they'll go, actually, I kind of like this one. Like, fuck you. Here's what I'm saying. The Nazis that sent Anne Frank off to Auschwitz were bad.
Yeah.
But the person who said to the Nazi, hey, I think there's a girl up in the attic of that house. You may want to go check it out. Much worse in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who works at the restaurant, he's just a garden variety Nazi serving it up.
Following
up to Auschwitz.
It's been said many times.
That sits there and goes, I like this one. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You are the guy who dropped the dime. You made a choice.
That guy's evil. He doesn't have a choice.
That's right.
Default setting.
That's right.
He just works there. He's serving what they have. Yep. He's the Nazi.
It's the sympathizer.
It's the sympathizer.
Yeah, I kind of like it. You know, they do that one. Like,
and then you get the spiel by the waitress a couple years later. Adam, actually, our customers prefer this. Sir, our customers prefer this.
And you might want to check the attic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Horrible. Well, TMZ reports that LiAngelo Ball and his two UCLA basketball teams are finally back on U.S. soil after getting the green light to leave China 1 week after they were arrested for jacking some sunglasses. It was showing you them coming through the airport. Lots of paparazzi. In a TMZ video, the guys are straight-faced, mostly silent, as they are hit with a barrage of questions and camera flashes from reporters. The players had been holed up at the Hyatt Hangzhou, while some of the most powerful people in the world, from President Trump to President Xi to Jack Ma, we talked about retailer Alibaba, worked on their release. Chinese officials reportedly dropped the shoplifting charges on Tuesday and allowed the guys to return home. UCLA says the school will launch its own investigation to decide whether or not to discipline the players.
They have been suspended indefinitely, but it appears, based on the way the statements have been coming out, that they're likely to play again this year.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
Suspended in some other way.
Wonderful. Just not on the court. For conference play.
Yeah, right.
We got to get one of the balls to mate with a Kardashian, right? So we can have a super media whore.
There's still like three others.
Hey, they're selling their pubes. Yeah. It's worth it, man. I bought a pube. Like they just sell just a crazy media whore, right?
Mm-hmm. I got my money on Kylie and this ball.
LiAngelo?
This ball. Yeah.
The hyper whore.
They're about the same age. Yeah. About the same notoriety.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They sell, like, they'll have a film crew when they're giving birth. Yep. They'll be selling the placenta and little vials for
people
to wear.
They're going to make a reality show out of the making of the reality show. There's a film crew following the film crew at all times.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's good.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, police in Tampa. Are we doing a Tampa show anytime soon, by the way?
No, go ahead.
Good. We should cancel it if we are. Police in Tampa fear there might be a serial killer in the area after a fourth victim was found early Tuesday morning.
Let me tell you something sad. At this point, with the guys in Vegas up in the high-powered rifles and the ISIS guys, you know, driving on the bike path, serial killer. Oh,
charming.
Yeah, it's kind of old school.
Yeah, throwback.
Yeah, days of yore.
It's like when I used to tell me 20 years ago about pickpockets, I was like, oh, sweet. That's great. Yeah, they go, I went to England and I was a victim of a pickpocket.
By a vagabond.
That's sweet. That's sweet.
That's the crime we grew up with. It makes you feel nostalgic.
Yeah, it's comfort crime. Yeah. Oh, the Night Stalker and Ramirez and Richard Speck. It was
Sam.
I'm waxing poetic and nostalgic, but I miss those days.
That's our
Manson.
Like mom used to make comfort crime.
Yeah. It's comfort crime. Yeah.
Well, the victim in the Seminole Heights neighborhood was
hold on. He doesn't kill them all at once when they're at church?
One by one, and there's usually some sort of a theme.
Like, you see a guy, he makes these handbags by hand. You know, each one.
Yeah. Especially tailored.
Sweet.
The artisan murder.
That's awesome.
He leaves a fun little note.
So it's locally sourced victims?
Yes, all artisan.
Okay, good for him. So it gives you some hope.
Exactly. Well, the victim found in the Seminole Heights neighborhood was identified as 6-year-old Ronald Felton. He's a native of New York, father of three. He was a regular volunteer at the local food bank. Since October 9th, three others have been killed within the same one-mile radius area where Felton was found.
How's he killing them?
Well, I think he's shooting. Yeah, let me. It's gunshot wounds. Police
say
they.
Can I say this? Yeah. Like, when you get caught, and you get caught because you start leaving clues about yourself, and there's one cop who's on the edge, just went through a messy divorce, and he's drinking hard, and you're dealing with him. It's the only one you'll correspond with, but. When you do get caught and you're with the other serial killers in cell block 9, and you're like, what was your weapon of choice? Not pardon the pun. And they're like, I was the machete killer, and I was known as the piano wire killer. And it's like, what'd you use? That's just a pistol. It's got to be kind of like,
Anyway, you guys want to go talk over there where this guy isn't?
So, you mean, same thing that could have happened if he was cleaning his pistol, but it went off, you just did that to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no effort.
Like, why?
Inspired.
Why be a serial killer if that's your.
Yeah.
You're just going to shoot people from a distance?
Yeah.
No strangling.
I feel like there's no
it's
why.
Like it's like it barely loves serial
why
killing.
Why serial kill if that's your thing?
It's might as well have a remote control. You just press a button. That's nothing.
There's, yeah. There's
what's nothing. That, the drone killer?
Hold on, Bob. What was your thing over there? Natural causes. Yeah. Oh, look at that. He waited till people expired naturally. So you guys should hang out together.
Our time is I'd be there when it happens.
I'll try to be there.
Thus, I love quite a lot
take credit
out.
For it.
Yeah.
Well, police say they now have a description of the suspect they believe is behind the killing, so they haven't released that info. A man who was in a local laundromat.
Why would you release that info?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want the public to find out what he looks like.
You want him, you know, shaving off his mustache and changing his hair color. A man who was in a local.
Or me picking him up hitchhiking.
Laundromat, yeah. Said he heard 5 gunshots and witnessed a man fleeing the area. So, hopefully they'll catch him soon because that's happening.
I'm saying if you go gun, you're not a serial killer. You're a lazy mass murderer. Mm-hmm. Like you just, you know, you couldn't handle the crowd.
Underachieving. Slow.
You're an under, like that's not, you're not a serial killer. No. Serial killer's got it. You got to have a method. You got to have a method.
Yeah. You know what his grades look like.
Yeah, that's not, you're just a kind of unmotivated mass murderer.
Yeah.
Probably unkempt.
Maybe he'll turn himself in now that you've shamed him.
We should shame this guy. Because I don't want to give him how many bodies do we have?
5?
It was 4. And then they said, we suspect now it's a serial killer. After the 4th, it's like the 3rd one.
Random.
No, still no. Still no. But the 4th one's like, okay, now we suspect it's a serial
killer. Now there's a pattern.
Yeah. Is it a minimum? I think it's over 2, right?
It's a bad sign for your city, too, when there's a string of unsolved murders and you're not sure if it's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And it's also...
It just could be unsolved murders.
Yeah, the guy killed Tupac and shot Biggie. Are these serial killers? This guy's shooting people with guns.
He's killing people.
All right.
Well, all the stars came out for Jimmy Kimmel's birthday Monday, and one of the fan favorites was celebrities reading mean tweets, the Jimmy Kimmel edition.
Yeah.
But we didn't see during that montage how Larry David almost couldn't get through his segment of reading mean tweets. The crew over at Jimmy Kimmel Live decided to post a clip of Larry David trying his best to get through reading mean tweets about Jimmy. Here's just a small clip because it went on forever.
The only power Jimmy Kimmel has is he can jiggle the 13. On the staff, pick these out. You're crazy. The only power Jimmy Kimmel has is he can jiggle the 13th. Oh my God, it's so mean. The only power Jimmy Kimmel has is he can jiggle the 13 fat rolls under the pew beard on his face. Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel isn't funny. Are we ever going to embrace that as a people? Jimmy Kimmel is the most arrogant.
Look, he's high.
I'm not supposed to laugh during this, right? Jimmy Kimmel is the most arrogant. Jimmy Kimmel is the most arrogant eggplant emoji looking guy I have ever seen.
Don't you so love many. A good laugher?
Yeah. He has like a Muppet laugh. Yeah. His jaw releases
just
completely.
Like, detaches like a snake to get around a rat.
And it's just, the idea for the young comedy writers out there for a great bit, always simplistic, super, it's almost like a logo. Super simple, super satisfying.
Yeah.
You just have the celebrities come in. There has to be mean tweets about around them. So it's super easy just to have an intern, like go find Ben Affleck or whatever, read them and have them read them about themselves. It makes them humans. It lets everyone know there's everything. And it's the most satisfying thing in the world.
So endearing.
If you said, oh, George Clooney's going to read mean tweets, you'd go, ah, change the channel. You'd have to see him do it.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Well, you know how we talked the other day about the most popular toys, the ones that are being inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame? I think it was the paper airplane, Clue, and Wiffle Ball.
Can I tell you the best toy?
Yeah.
The one your child plays with.
Oh.
I hate those assholes. You know, I played a lot of roles, but you know my greatest role?
What?
As a father.
Oh God, this is sweet.
I hate that. I hate those people.
Well, now on the opposite end of things, we have the World Against Toys Causing Harm, or WATCH, as they're called, has unveiled its top 10 list of dangerous toys that you should not buy your kids for the holidays. So among them were fidget spinners, a Wonder Woman battle sword, and a remote-controlled Spider-Man drone. So these are among the toys topping the Consumer Safety Group's annual list of worst toys for the holidays. A Disney-themed stacking toy for infants was recalled in August, but still available online. That made the list. And also the heel wheels or the Heelys, you know, what's the shoes that turn into little rollers.
Natalia did eat shit on those.
I was going to say, they seem very Natalia.
The thing, I don't know what the stacking one is.
Yeah, it's a stacking toy that was recalled.
The one that should be at the top of that list every single time is the one my sister got my kids, which was It's Mr. Supermarket, and it's a huge box with 200,000 miniature broccolis and carrots and pork chops and all the peas and all the stuff. It's like 145 pieces and a little shopping cart. And she got it for him when they were like 2.5. And I'm sure it's all covered in SARS and made with lead-based paint. It's all from China. And we'd be downstairs with them, and they'd be eating their dinner, and we'd be arguing. Eat your carrots. Come on, Sonny. Eat your, and he'd be like, you know, eat your carrots. Eat your peas. Eat your little broccoli. Come on. Here you go. Have a piece. Chew, chew, chew. And then you'd go upstairs, and they'd be holding the plastic carrot. It looked exactly the same. And they'd put it in their mouth, and you'd smack it out of their hand. Get it out! Get it out of your mouth! Put that out! Spit it out! Heimlich, get it out! Put that! No! Don't put it in your mouth! Don't put this near your mouth! It's like, it's the exact same object they had downstairs, and we're begging them.
Yeah.
Something it's a confusing message.
This is the worst toy. This toy should be outlawed, because of course the kid's going to put it in his mouth. That's what it is. And of course they're going to choke on it, because it's a miniature carrot. It's like the size of a chapstick.
Yeah.
Why is this even an option to buy as a gift? And then they have the little passion fruit cup. No, but really.
The iced tea pitcher.
What? And can I put a goddamn pox on all the people that buy all the super elaborate gifts? And Brian, you're going to start getting into this.
I was just going to say.
They're going to see. Here's what you want to do. Here's what you want. You want bang for your buck when you're buying a gift, right? So when you show up at the party and they got a 5-year-old or 3-year-old or whatever, you want them to unwrap something, and you want it to have a lot of parts and a lot of stuff. And no one wants to pull up and go, oh, spaghetti colander. That's awesome. Thank you. We'll put that over here. It'd be much better than what they're going, because what they do is they go the 177-piece tie-dye kit, and it's all the different packs of dye and all the rubber bands. And, here's the wax you use. Now you melt it in the pot, and then you use a stick to spread the wax. They bust that shit open. There are 5,000 pieces to this thing. You can never get it right. I mean, if you want to quit your job and just dedicate the rest of your life to tie-dyeing kid shirts, possibly in year 7, you could do something, but no way. And it's like, boil the water, put the coloring in, melt the wax. There's a thought. Here's how far everything gets. It gets busted. First off, you get the thing where it's like, we want to do tie-dyed. It's like, oh, I can't. It's too much. I don't want to have enough. We want to do that. They want to do whatever. They can't. If you get, they get them just a Nerf football or any kind of ball or any kind of anything, they can just open up and just start playing with it. But this is 177 pieces, and they need you to set it up, and they need you to put it together. Yeah. And it's like, fuck that, and fuck you for dropping this off. Then the pieces just get scattered everywhere. Yeah. Now, you can't tear it open and then go, oh, we're throwing all this shit away. You can't. It's just, you can't. You had a horrible childhood. No, you couldn't do that.
Right.
So then you shove it somewhere. Like, you go, let's get a new box and put it in with this. And then it just fucking sits there. And then eventually the kid gets a little too old and nobody wants to do it. And then eventually you chuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck that, and fuck you people with your multi. New rule. 3-piece max. Whatever the hell you're bringing. Yeah. 3 pieces. Not the dye packs, not the wax, not the rubber band. Just 3 pieces.
Total.
Yeah, that's it. Total.
Ball, wiffle bat.
It's not
done.
Less than 3. Base.
Glove. You can go to a glove if you're a hat if you want.
It's not a gift. It's a job.
It's a job.
Yeah. And it's like when one time for Valentine's Day, I think one of my friends gave me a betta fish. I'm like, what are you doing? A betta fish? This is the worst. A betta fish. And I had to go on vacation, and I left it at my mom's house, and I came back, and she's like, hey, why don't you come by and pick up the fish, Maddox? I'm like, oh, I will in a couple days. She kept calling and calling and calling weeks later. And then finally I called, because she stopped calling about the fish. I'm like, well, what happened? She goes, I flushed it. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, thank you. It was such a those are the worst. They're just burdens.
Fish, pets, fish, sea monkeys, but the goddamn multi-part tie-dye kits and this mini supermarket with 100. You'll just step on broccoli barefoot for the next 6 years. It's a goddamn disaster.
Something you're explicitly not supposed to put in your mouth. Looks like things you're supposed to put in your mouth.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane choking hazard. And then also, it's just the biggest mess in the world. And then there's all this shit. There's the, like, Ninjago castle. and it's got 1,200 pieces, and Sonny wants to put together, and I'm not good enough to put together this castle with 7,000 little bricks and the little thing. And now they just be like, come on, let's do this. Come on, we want to put the thing. They get the thing, and the instructions are written in Chinese and 70 pages long. And it's such a, find one of those, Gary, find one of those. I guess it was Ninjago or something.
Oh my God. Something like that. That is intricate.
You'll never build what's on the box. You will be divorced. I will be with my trophy wife. You will be in foster care. And maybe you can build it then. But we will never build this thing that takes 7,000 pieces in my most of my adult life.
Yeah, it looks haunted. IKEA has figured out instructions for adults that are simpler than this. For children who have no cognition.
I built houses for a living, and I could not figure out Ninjago's castle. Yeah.
And by the way, if that price tag was right, that wasn't exactly free. I'm sorry, I don't want to remind you, it's very expensive.
All right. Okay. Let me tell you about, to put myself in a better mood, I'll tell you about True Car, man. True Car. You want to buy new, you want to buy used, you got to go True Car. Gary, we got to get our fly swatter in here. There's a fly buzzing around here. It's been here since yesterday. It's driving me nuts. True Car, where was I? I'd like to run them over in a True Car, man. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get upfront pricing, you get info, you get discounts off the list price, you get a better buying experience. You see what other people paid for the car, the exact car, apples to apples. You lock in that price, you connect with your local certified dealer, and then you enjoy a quick and easy buying experience. So when it comes time to buy that new car, you do what our own Chris Max Pata did over here with his Prius. 200 miles on that bad boy. Yeah, it was used, but it's practically new. You're ready to buy. New or used, you go with True Car. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you're not living in one of those states. All right, let's do one more, shall we, Gina Graham?
Sure. Well, this one's interesting. I get it, and I'm wondering if all three of the men in this room get it as well.
Hold on. Yeah. 4,867 pieces in Ninjago's castle.
Oh, God.
Gary, Jesus goddamn Christ. Oh. You know how much junk we just throw away? I kind of blame China, because I think they just crank all this stuff out. Mm-hmm. And then when you're the person who's buying the gift, you're like, For $19, I can get this 2,000-piece gift set and drop it off. I won't be the idiot buying the ball for the kid. I'll be the guy with all the pieces.
Hero.
Big box.
Yeah.
Ugh. Go ahead.
All right. Well, according to a new survey, women tend to be happier than men when they're single. The survey found the majority of women, 61%, are happy when their relationship status is single, compared to about 50% of the men. One psychologist suggests it's true because relationships are exhausting for women. In much the same way women spend more time doing housework a lot of times than men, they also spend more time maintaining romantic relationships. Seems having a partner ends up costing a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, came out with this? Study
very important scientists and researchers.
I don't trust this.
Telegraph magazine. But I think it's interesting. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I do, because I know a lot of, in all of my bevy of relationships I've ever had in my life, I always was worried to leave because I didn't know that the person could sort of survive not being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think there's something to that.
Yeah,
I guess. I'm a massive codependent.
There's a little
empath.
Of that, but I mean, there's also, the fly's coming by. Where's the fly?
Oh, he's by Brian.
It's on my head. No!
It's on the sign. Get him.
Brian's head.
There it is. Done.
Hey, we got it.
One shot, A-bones. I don't think he's totally dead.
No, I have to get it. I don't want it on the ground, but he's gone.
Okay.
All right.
Amazing.
I got the fly. Oh. All right. By the way, nothing works better than a fly swatter.
Mm.
Yeah. They have not invented anything better. Slippers and newspapers, they blow the fly away. The gust of wind hits and the fly swatter still works.
If you've ever used an electric fly swatter, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, but that just means...
Taking the sportsmanship out of it.
That just means you're weird. Yeah. I just want a dead fly, not the rush of a dead fly. Like, you know the adrenaline surge you get when you kill a fly.
Thirst for blood.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get rock hard when I take out those flies with this technology that humans created.
It's so fun.
Electricity, we're bringing.
Yes. I guess it depends. I get this. It depends on the wiring.
Yeah.
Trying to think. The guys, The guy, I feel I put my own study is the guys whose mamas were a little too good to them need a lot of maintenance, support, and whatever. Yeah. And the guys who had a, I had a business like relationship with my mom. Like, we had a tacit agreement. Look, you don't mom, I don't son. You go over there. I'll be over here. Yeah. Right? We cool?
Yeah.
You stay out of my space. I won't invade your space. Right. Mm-hmm. I won't ask you for anything. You don't talk to me. We don't hug. We don't do any of that. I'm pretty self-sufficient. Like, don't have, but I know guys whose mama did a lot of stuff.
And you just pass them from the mom to the girlfriend.
Yeah, those guys have not, they have expectations. Like those are the guys
of being taken care of.
It's just anything. Like if you do a, if you were going to do a bit on Kimmel and you came home and she never watched it or never inquired about it or like didn't say, well, we're going to get together and we should watch your bit or it was very funny or I watch it. Like if you don't, they need that feedback. Right. Like they need you to support
validation.
And watch
the
and
validation,
validate.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My mom's always been always a bruiser. Hates. In fact, there's a real quote on the back of my book. Says, "How long are you going to keep this up? Why don't you just move back home to Utah and get your programming job back?"
Wow.
Constantly discouraging me from my career, my
flushing
life.
Fish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I'm all about her doing that for me. But yeah, she's just always been riding me. When I got my first book deal, I called my mom and I told her, I'm like, oh my god, I'm a real writer. I've been writing for years, but I'm ashamed to call myself a writer until I get paid for it. Then you're an official, like it's a thing,
right.
You know?
Right.
I call my mom like, hey, I got a book deal. And the first thing she says is, Maddox, when are you going to go back to school and get a real job?
Oh, man.
First thing she says
Chikara?
To me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
is the translation. Subtitle under what she says. Yeah.
So do you then need more out of a relationship, or I suspect less out of a relationship?
Less. No, I don't need. In fact, I appreciate when they kind of leave me alone to do my own thing. It's nice. It's a breath of fresh air. And it's not something that I crave. I don't need that attention. I don't need them to do things for me.
But I will tell you, working on Rodeo Drive for as long as I did in a suit shop, seeing these women and these mothers of grown men being all over these guys and fussing, and no, this doesn't look right, and she doesn't know, and this is it, and you need to wear a two button, not three, and these guys are just defeated. And they're like, okay. I've seen all these dudes just shuffled through shops on Rodeo for years by either their wife or their mother.
I have this couple. And this is, again, this is my own shortcomings as a human being. There's a couple who, you tell me if you guys know this couple. Anytime you go to your gym, they're there. They're just there. Like I've started thinking about it. Sometimes I roll in at 6 in the evening. Sometimes I roll in at 9:15, but they are there.
Yeah.
They're there and they're there. And they're spotting each other.
Yep. Yeah.
And what they're doing seems like half social, half lovemaking, and it's sort of half working out. Like they're doing exercises like the weird incline push-up thing that has the weights you stack on it, but they just do the one arm.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the guy who works out with the one arm? Mm-hmm. What do you know? You know what I mean? The guy who does the thing where he's down on one knee, he's got his leg on the bench, and he's doing just a one dump. Like, I don't like that guy.
Look at you isolating your muscle
just
groups.
Yeah, like he's holding the back of one arm, and he's got to just go ahead and grab him with both and push it down, Mr. Universe. What are you training for? What do you know? It's taking it twice as long. By the way, you're not getting laid. Yeah. You don't look like crap. Like, what do you? This couple, whenever I pull up, they're there.
Yeah.
And they're working it together, and they're just standing over each other, and they're spotting. But it's not like they need each other, but they are just there,
devoted.
And I just look at them every time. I was like, "What? Isn't this seems like so much work?" Because there's no way I could coordinate this with my wife. Yeah. Like I'm going out to work out. She goes, I'm not. Who's going to watch the kids? Or I'm not. I just finished dinner. Like I'm not going. I worked out. Isn't it a commitment to we will carve out 2 hours every night to this thing? On the other hand, I'm insanely jealous. I'm like, these guys must be incredibly in love.
It takes up so much time of their individual and combined days that it's like, is that all they have? And is there unifying bond?
Here's what I think. My thing with the gym is in and out, fast as I can do it. the least time I spend here, the better. Because it says, all I want to do is check a box. I want to say I ran on a treadmill for 10 minutes and did 10 lat pull downs and a bench press, and I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. But this becomes their thing.
Yeah, it's their home.
It's a weird thing. And it's also, there's always a kind of a part of me that wants to go, look, they sell these memberships for $29 a month with the kind of understanding that people aren't going to move in to the gym. Like, there's just, the deal is there's 18 pieces of equipment, but they sell 500 memberships. Yeah. Like, if everybody spends all day, every day in here, nobody's really. So we do the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or we come in for 45, but not 6 hours. Like, you're kind of taking a little. Imagine this is a Golden Corral, and you pulled up to the buffet with one of those trash cans with wheels on it and just started dumping all the serving trays. You see where I'm getting with this?
Yeah.
Ironically, the opposite of working out, but others in line would say, hey, now we're out of buffalo wings because you. And you could say, well, it's all you can eat. Yeah. And we signed up. But
we
are kind of taking up a little too much space here.
The ideal customer pays the dues on time and never shows up.
Right.
Now, do you want to be a good customer?
They're not
just, I just think the all day, every day. I'm going to start showing up at like 2 a.m. It's one of those things where you have
clock them.
You have a key to get in. Right. I'm just going to show up at like 2 a.m. and see if they're there tonight.
And you would think that they look really good at being at the gym all the time. And they usually look like sacks of potatoes. It's like a tombstone and a sack. Like, they're kind of broken.
Dumplings. Well, they never look good enough for what they're doing.
Right.
They should look like the Rock.
Yes. Because the phrase is, he lives in the gym. He lives in the gym. But then someone who actually does live in the gym, they live in the gym.
They like to be seen in the gym. They like to take the big swig of water from the bottle, and they like to eat the power bar afterwards.
I feel like I think it's way more about, it's like the guy who picks up the tennis racket, puts a sweater around his thing, and then just does laps around the country club.
Like,
I never see him playing. He's just there.
He likes the tennis aesthetic.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right, I'll keep. I'll see if I can miss these guys.
See you at 2 a.m. Clocking up. Dear Twitter,
I'm now obsessed with it. Right. And now, by the way, now that I see them every time, I'm forcing them. There you go. Hey, buddy. There you go. Right. But I have to, because now we're gym buddies.
Just a couple of workout warriors over here.
Yes. Yeah. Now, they seem nice, and they seem fit, but they could never be fit enough, because in my mind, they never leave.
No. For the amount of time, they're in maintenance mode. It just, they're not ever improving. They're just kind of there.
Also, I don't like the shaming of, they were there for 2 hours. I come in and work out, and I'm the first to leave.
Yeah.
Like, I'm splitting before they are.
I
don't like that. Yeah. I do not like that. Yeah. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. And thanks to today's new sponsor, Blinds Galore. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Trump sucks. Gina Grad. That's my new podcast
with Gina Grad.
Kicking down the door to get on.
Geico, man, they don't suck. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? And you don't have to go anywhere. You just go to geico.com, slide on over your computer, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that money in your pocket. Get yourself a 500-piece mini supermarket kit for the toddlers, or some passion fruit, whatever. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, let's plug the book. Fuck Whales, also families, poetry, folksy wisdom, and you. Petty essays from a brilliant mind. That's Maddox's book, available now on Amazon. And bookmark us and click on through in the podcast, Madcast Media. Check that out as well. Us, this Tuesday, Pasadena Ice House, Mark Garagus up on stage, Brad Williams with us up on stage, so that's going to be a loaded show, and the pre-cruise event done at Churchill's Pub in Miami, 8 p.m., go out and say hi, everyone's going to be there, Dawson's playing, Loxie's playing, the bands are playing, the lackeys are there, Ray's going to be there, say hi.
Hell of a party.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a party. You guys are going to be there. I'm coming in the following morning. Then we'll see you on the cruise.
JJo will be there.
JJo are going to be there. Go to Corolla Drinks and say hi to Lynette. She's working hard over there. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Joe Coy, Maddox, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. Climate deniers are assholes. Mm-hmm.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. And we'll see you Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Past Ice House, Pasadena. And in Miami and on the cruise. Maybe later after the cruise. Lots of stuff coming up for the winter. Go to AdamCarolla.com because that's where it all is.